Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Got the middle of the field. He's got through. 35, 30.
Rogan intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live, presented by DraftKings, right here on Giants.com. Excuse me. Wow. John Schmoke, Lance Mehta with you. That's a new one. 201-939-4513, hashtag Giants Chat. See, this trade this morning has really thrown me for a
loop.
It has.
Shaking things up.
So, real interesting, Lance, and I guess we'll get right to that. Welcome to you folks listening to us on Twitter. You can listen to the rest of the show and watch the rest of the show when you're done on Twitter. Go to Giants.com. We're joined by Rick Saratella from NFL Draft Bible at 12:05. Until then, Lance, we got to talk about the trade that went down this morning. Let's talk about the trade itself first before we get to how it might affect the Giants, if at all. The Rams, I find it hard to believe, and I think it's interesting. I've seen reports that they're definitely picking Goff. I've seen reports they're definitely taking Wentz. I've seen reports they don't know which of the two guys they like, and they're going to scout them the next 2 weeks and then pick one. I would have to think, if they made this trade, they're in love with one of those two guys and know that that's their guy, unless they really like both of them and they have them both elevated that highly and they're good with either one. But you got to think they know one of those guys is their guys at this point, right?
Well, it's possible they may be up in the air in terms of which quarterback they want to take, because let's put it this way, if they stayed in their respective spot, John, I don't think any of those two are going to fall to them, because the two quarterbacks, no. Goff and Wentz, are likely to have gone
right
before they would have selected in that 15th spot. So it's still possible they could be up in the air. I think it's safe to say they're going to take a quarterback. The question is, you know, who will they take? Ultimately, I think this is a huge sacrifice on their part. You know, I probably would have taken a little bit more of the conventional approach, where maybe go after a free agent and take a mid-round quarterback. And I think there's some upside with some of these guys that are going to go maybe in the third or the fourth round. But, you know, sometimes you got to be bold if you want to improve that position. They took the bold maneuver. And hopefully for their sake, Goff and Wentz turn out to be a franchise quarterback.
Hey, look, and we've been saying that, you know, the last few years that the Rams have a ton of talent. They've been people's sleeper teams. They have such good talent on the defensive line. Tavon Austin's been there a little while. They obviously have a great running back in Todd Gurley now. So they have talent. And the one thing they've been missing, really, since Kurt Warner left the Rams after the Super Bowl years, and Trent Green, whatever, depending on how you think of him, they've missed a quarterback. And Jeff Fisher has been there a while. He has not been able to win without a quarterback. In fact, since, you know, he lost Steve McNair and Steve McNair called it quits, you know, he's had to deal with, you know, the Vince Youngs of the world and guys like that, and it frankly hasn't worked. So they're going to go all in here. And you're right, it's a hefty price for those of you that haven't heard. They're number one this year. They're number one next year. Their two number two selections this year, that's including Philly's number two, which they got in the trade last year for Sam Bradford. They're three this year, and they're three next year. They're also getting back the Titans' fourth and sixth round picks,
a lot of picks
from this year. So, ironically, the team that was on the other side of the Robert Griffin III trade got all those picks, rubbed it in the Redskins' face when they trotted those guys out for the opening coin toss when they played each other last year. Now, do
they
what
follow
the
that
Redskins
script
did and really hurt their franchise by now trading all those picks, theoretically, for their future quarterback?
Well, for those of you paying close attention at home, 2017, the AFC South plays the NFC West, and then in 2021. So maybe we'll have some history repeating itself, and maybe the Titans will return the favor to the Rams. Yeah, it is very interesting that the team involved in that big RG3 trade. Now, keep in mind, if RG3 doesn't get hurt, you know, we look at that deal a lot differently. That's really what happened with respect to that. So that's what I'm saying. This all depends on how Wentz or Goff pan out. If they pan out to be a great quarterback, you'll give up the house for those guys. It's not a problem. If it backfires on you, then you wonder, is it really worth the risk?
No, you don't wonder. You say this was a disastrous trade that potentially ruined our franchise for years. You know, as Giant fans well know, if you have a couple misses in your draft classes, it's going to hurt you down the road. It's just the way it goes. So when you trade a lot of picks and you're basically trading away, you know, a lot of this year's draft and a lot of next year's draft, I mean, you're simply not going to come away with that many players in volume or high quality in terms of top picks after you make that type of deal. And if this is a miss, you're finished. The GM's gone. The coach is gone. The whole regime is done. You're doing the Jim Fossil. You're taking your chips. You're putting them to the middle of the table, and that's it. You're in, you succeed, and it better work. Well, this is what you better have conviction here, Lance. You better really believe that one of these two guys is it. Because if they're not, you are toast.
Well, given the fact that the Rams have certainly been in the middle of the pack in the NFC East over the last few years, you can understand why they've been aggressive. You mentioned the Giants real quickly, John. I mean, the Giants can relate. You know, when they gave up some draft picks to grab Eli Manning, it was all based on how Eli Manning was going to pan out. You look back at that deal, clearly nobody has complaints from the Giants' perspective,
right?
Because obviously they got two Super Bowls out of it and they got some consistent seasons. But, you know, if the quarterback doesn't come to fruition, that's when all of a sudden this deal becomes a huge risky type
of
situation.
I would argue that Eli is a significantly better prospect when he came out than the two quarterbacks this year, in my personal opinion.
Well, I'm not going to disagree with you. I think that you could look at other draft classes, the Andrew Luck class and so forth, that, you know, you had, I think, a little bit more substance. You had a little bit more confidence that those guys were certainly going to pan out. Now, this group could surprise a lot, but I would not necessarily put it atop the rankings of some of the previous draft classes at the quarterback position.
So we'll be joined by Rick Saratella right now. And after that, guys, me and Lance are going to have a little fun today. Given the trade, we're going to do a little mock draft. It'll be not who we would pick. It's who we think the teams are going to pick. Now that this trade went down, it kind of reshuffles the deck a little bit. So we'll have a little bit of fun with that after the guest. We say goodbye to our folks on Twitter. If you want to continue listening to the show, please go to Giants.com. Now we're joined on Big Blue Kickoff Live by our good buddy Rick Saratella from NFL Draft Bible. Joins us every year a couple times. He joined us right after the Combine this year. And now Rick joined us on a day where the NFL Draft gets reshuffled. And Rick, we've heard a lot of different reports on who the Rams might pick at one. What's, A, your feel for who they might go with, and which quarterback do you like better, Wentz or Goff, and why?
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. I think, you know, you don't make a trade up to the number one pick unless you know who your guy is. And for me, it's quite clear. To me, it's not really close who the best quarterback in this draft class is. It's hands down Carson Wentz, in my opinion. I think that there's a lot more to like. I think there's a lot more upside. I have a bunch of concerns when it comes to Jared Goff, and I think Carson Wentz is not only, in my opinion, the most ready to step in from day one, but also the highest ceiling. So I think it is Carson Wentz. There wouldn't be any doubt in my mind, and I think there's a big separation between Wentz and Goff, a lot more than people recognize.
Well, let me ask you one more follow-up on that real quick. You say Wentz is more ready to step in right now. This kid played in North Dakota State at an FCS school. I call FCS games during the fall. I know very well the athlete, the type of player that's in that conference. And I love the conference. They're great kids. It's good football, but this is not SEC football. This is a far cry from NFL football. Can they ask Wentz to step in year one and expect him to be close to competent given the uptick in skill level and how everything for Carson Wentz is going to be sped up, not twofold, not threefold, probably tenfold?
See, I'm on the opposite spectrum. I think that if he didn't play at North Dakota State, we'd be talking about the best quarterback prospect since Andrew Luck. Instead, we're caught up in North Dakota State, and, you know, I could say the same thing about Ben Roethlisberger coming out of Miami, Ohio. They went to the Super Bowl in year one or two. Joe Flacco out of Delaware came in, made an immediate impact.
That's
to
fair.
Me, I just see a guy, I mean, the FCS championship, he was lights out. I thought that he did everything outstanding in the draft process, not only at the Senior Bowl, but the Combine, the Pro Day. I thought he hit a draft season triple play, and I just think his ascension is so great, so far out of left field. People have never seen anything like this, and now you have a team, you know, giving up a boatload for this guy. And just let me follow up with this, with Jared Goff. I mean, you talk about what's his signature moment. What did he do on the big stage? I think about looking forward to that UCLA-Cal game where he got outplayed by a freshman in Josh Rosen. For me, you take the size. Wentz is about 40 pounds heavier. You take the hand size, about an inch and a half bigger. And then I look at Jared Goff where, you know, 151 passes deflected in three seasons, 23 fumbles, 30 interceptions, 50 sacks. I just think there's a lot of concern surrounding Jared Goff.
Rick, you mentioned there's a drop-off from Wentz to the rest of the quarterback class. Twofold question here. Number one, given the fact that it looks like perhaps two quarterbacks may go at 1 and 2, do you see a third quarterback going perhaps before the Giants pick at number 10? And the second part of the question is, where would you rank this quarterback class overall compared to some of the recent classes we've seen in years past?
Well, I think, you know, these quarterbacks have a little bit more warts than some of the other quarterback classes. And, you know, I think when we look back at it, when it's all said and done, Carson Wentz and Jared Goff will be more like Peyton Manning, Ryan Leaf. I think we'll be scratching our heads and saying, what were we looking at? What were we even thinking about? But to answer your question, wow, you know, it really comes down to the Cleveland Browns. Did the Rams jump up to take their guy, and are they content enough with settling for what looks like number two in Jared Goff? Now, if they pull the trigger on Goff, all of a sudden the 49ers hold the keys to this whole first round, because, you know, there's going to be, I think, it's all a trickle-down effect, just like we saw in free agency. You're going to see it in the NFL draft. If you want one of these quarterbacks, you're going to have to overpay and compensate to get one. So I think that if the Browns do pull a trigger at number two, San Fran at number seven all of a sudden becomes a big trading spot. And heck, if the Browns bypass a quarterback, say the 49ers take Jared Goff, all of a sudden now the Titans at number 15, they could see Paxton Lynch slide down to 15. They could trade back again.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's really, I think, what the Browns do at two, and then number seven is the wild card.
Yeah, I mean, if the Browns pass on a quarterback at two, I could see the Chargers getting phone calls, the Cowboys getting phone calls, and then you worry if the Eagles, do they want to try to get ahead of the 49ers, if they think the San Francisco 49ers are going to pick Lynch. You're right. It could just be a mess in that top 10. Do you think the Chargers now have an easy decision to turn in the card for Tunsil?
I mean, it's not an easy decision, because obviously they worked out Miles Jack at safety. They lost Eric Weddle in free agency, and they're trying to replace that key cog as well. And who better to do that than a Miles Jack or Jalen Ramsey? You know, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. You know, I believe that, you know, Laremy Tunsil is definitely a great pick. Don't get me wrong. Miles Jack and Jalen Ramsey are also big-time playmakers and game changers. And the fact that they worked out all those guys, really, and the fact that they had Miles Jack, they told Miles Jack, hey, we're looking at you at a safety. So to me, I mean, they could be thinking Jack, they could be thinking Ramsey. Now Laremy Tunsil is in the mix, which I don't think they foresee, but I do think it's going to be Tunsil or Ramsey for the Chargers. I wouldn't be surprised if they go Ramsey.
Talking with Rick Saratella from NFL Draft Bible, you just mentioned, Rick, that the Chargers may envision Miles Jack at safety, which is interesting. And, you know, clearly you know his background in college. I mean, they moved him all around. He was a running back. He did play a little defensive back, special teams, though I think most teams probably view him as a linebacker. With all that being said, what is your ideal fit for Miles Jack at the NFL level? Is he a safety? Is he a linebacker? Where do you think he fits in?
To me, he's a defensive weapon. I think you could even, you know, some teams probably have an idea. They can kick him outside and rush the quarterback, but he only had one career sack. To me, I think he's the quarterback of your defense. He's an inside backer, great sideline to sideline coverage, somebody who can cover, play all three downs. But at the same time, he's such an athlete, he could play that strong safety position. And you're seeing a lot of these teams now, whether it's the Cardinals, the Seahawks, the Panthers, kind of that joker position where, you know, you take a guy like a Miles Jack or Sue Cravens. Sometimes you play him at strong safety in the box. Sometimes you might play him as a joker outside linebacker position. But for me, I'd stick him inside. I'd make him the quarterback of my defense. I'd make him the face of my defense. And I'd really predicate what I do defensively around him, because he's a game changer, a playmaker, a guy that, you know, he might not get after the quarterback a lot statistically speaking, but he creates turnovers and he makes big plays and clutch moments. And that's what you want from a defensive leader. And the Giants, I mean, they haven't had a defensive playmaker at linebacker in quite some time. Not saying that he'll slide down to number 10, but if he's there, they have to run to the podium.
Well, you just sort of hinted at what my next question was going to be. There's some mock drafts now all of a sudden thinking that maybe Jack could be in play at number 10. Where do you see his window in terms of, is San Diego the highest, or could he potentially fall, you think, based on what happened with these latest trades?
Well, you know, we just talked about it. The you know, trickle effect is now we could see a mess with teams trading up to get quarterback. So, you know, you talk about, you know, three teams within the top seven picks that need a quarterback. So right there, you figure three quarterbacks are gone, plus Laremy Tunsil and Jalen Ramsey. So there's a possibility he can fall in that 6-7-8 range. I just find it hard to believe such a talented player. I think one of the top five players in the draft, hand down. It might be a stretch to get number 10, but I could see 6-7-8, maybe 9.
All right, so let's take a look then at what could be there at number 10, Rick. We're joined by Rick Saratella, NFL Draft Bible. Then we'll kind of slide back and focus on a couple specific prospects. From the guys that will be gone at 10, and, you know, a lot of people call this a 7- or 8-player draft. You have the two quarterbacks, Tunsil, Jack, Ramsey, Bosa, Buckner, that a lot of people consider the top guys in the class. Once you get past those, assuming they're off the board, who do you like as a value player for the Giants at 10 that you think will be there and is a good fit that matches value and need?
For me, I'm narrowing it down to two guys. Ronnie Stanley, if they go offense, Vernon Hargreaves, if they go defense. I think that it's very enticing considering all the facts or all the problems they've had along that offensive line. You pair Eric Flowers and Ronnie Stanley together, now you have a new pair of bookend tackles to protect Eli Manning, which I think is critical. Just boosts the offense going into this year two of the Ben McAdoo system. And you can justify it by saying they spent a lot of money on defense in free agency. However, when you take a look at the NFL and 65% of the time, you know, defenses are playing either nickel or dime packages. So, yeah, DRC, Janoris Jenkins, that's a good 1-2 tandem. But what do they have behind that? There's not a lot of depth. And I think, you know, in a year or two when Rodgers Cromartie's out of here, you got a guy like Hargreaves who is really a lockdown corner that just undersized, maybe might struggle against some of the taller wideouts. But I think you really solidify that secondary, maybe help reinforce the secondary with a guy like Vernon Hargreaves and possibly the best cover man corner. But to me, Stanley, Hargreaves, those are the two guys they really need to target, in my opinion.
You mentioned Stanley could be in play at number 10. When I look at the tackles, Rick, it seems that there's three that separate themselves from the rest of the pack. It's Tunsil, it's Stanley, and then perhaps Jack Conklin, depending on how you feel about him. In terms of those three, what's the differential between those three particular players? Is there a major drop-off, or are they rather close?
I think, surprisingly, what you don't hear, in the media at least, is that some teams value Stanley over Tunsil. And, you know, there's also some things off the field with Tunsil that really, you know, are unclear, and we don't really have the privy information to kind of cipher through, which could be part of the logic why the Titans traded down. However, I do think there's a little bit of a drop-off between Tunsil and Stanley when you get to Conklin, whereas, you know, I strictly view Conklin as a right tackle. I think Ronnie Stanley has the talent to play left tackle in the NFL. I know with the Giants, they're pretty comfortable with Eric Flowers over there, but I think if Stanley goes to another team, there's no doubt in my mind that he can play left tackle. For example, if he slid to the Titans, I think they would move Taylor Lewan over to right tackle and Stanley would play left tackle. But, you know, when you get to Conklin, I think you're talking about a guy who is purely right tackle, which is not a bad thing for the Giants. I just don't think that there's value picking a right tackle in the NFL draft at the number 10 pick.
Now, two other guys I know you talked to me, Rick, during the week before when we booked this spot that you thought could be in play for the Giants at 10. That's wide receiver Laquon Treadwell, and then, you of course, you have linebacker slash hybrid pass rusher slash wild card defensive player Leonard Floyd. Your thoughts on those two guys and why you think they're good value and good fits for the Giants at 10?
Sure. You know, I think you got to pay attention. When Jerry Reese shows up to a pro day personally, you have to pay attention to it. And, you know, word is he was checking out Leonard Floyd, which, you know, doesn't really fit the Giants' 4-3 traditional type defense. But you remember what Spagnuolo did during the Super Bowl years with the NASCAR package, just to have a pass rusher, additional pass rusher in play. JPP was a one-year deal. I could actually see Emmanuel Ogbah throw him in the mix too, because Jerry Reese was at his pro day. So, you know, if you want to say those guys are a candidate at number 10 or number 40, one, you know, they could possibly go there. Laquan Treadwell, since we spoke earlier in the week, John, I've been hearing that Treadwell is a guy now. He might actually be available in round two.
Really?
So I'm hearing he may slide out of the first round completely. I would actually say that there's a better chance Corey Coleman goes to the Giants with the first pick, with their first round pick, than Laquan Treadwell. I think if you're the Giants and you're looking at wide receiver, I think that's the position you bypass on and then hope a guy like maybe Treadwell or Will Fuller or even a guy like Tyler Boyd is available in round two. But from what I'm hearing, Treadwell is a guy that might do the slip and slide come draft night.
Is that mostly because of the 40 time, or are there other issues with him that are giving teams pause?
I just think that teams have a hard time spending a top pick on a guy that runs, 4-7 range. And we saw Jarvis Landry, if you remember a couple of years ago, until he ran his 40-yard dash, I mean, him and Beckham were pretty much neck and neck in terms of draft stock and prospects. And then Landry, I think he ran like a 4.72, and he fell all the way down. I think he was the last pick in the second round, so almost to the third round. I think that's what you're seeing here with Laquan Treadwell. So next time, an NFL team tells you they don't put stock into pro day and they don't value it, just go back to the Teddy Bridgewater, Laquan Treadwell, Jarvis Landry pro days. all of a sudden now, what he did on film maybe is not as important what he did at his pro day. It doesn't make sense to me, but that's, I think, what the mind frame or the thought process is with some of these NFL teams. And some of these coaches, they don't get involved in the scouting of these prospects until the regular season ends. So really sometimes, a lot of times, they just know what they've seen from January to April.
Rick, you mentioned that the Giants were at Leonard Floyd's pro day, and that's what makes him somewhat attractive. I think back when the Giants drafted JPP, there was a lot of talk about how he was raw, upside, but raw, not a lot of football experience. Where is Floyd right now as a football player? Is it raw potential? Do you like what you've seen from an X's and O's standpoint based on how Georgia utilized him? Where would you fit him in terms of his football pedigree?
I think the best is yet to come with Leonard Floyd. However, there's a disturbing pattern here at Georgia where, it seemed like every year we were waiting for that breakout season and he just never delivered on it. So I think he's a guy that you got to get with the right coaching staff to maximize his dangerous P-word potential. And, the fact of the matter is this, he played at 225. The season ended and he bulked up. He put on 20 pounds between the end of the season and the combine, and then he came out and ran a ridiculous 40-yard dash time, maybe 4.59. I don't know offhand exactly what it was, but what you can't teach is that size and that speed, and because he's flashed that pass rushing ability, a lot of people think he can actually be a better pro than he was collegiate, and I'm along with that same line of thinking. However, I think you need to get him in the right type of scheme. To me, it's kind of a square peg in a round hole when you try to match him up with the Giants. I think he's better suited as a 3-4 outside backer personally, but again, so many teams using hybrid defenses these days, maybe that's something the Giants want to get involved with. It just doesn't seem like the ideal fit when I try to match things up and make sense. And by the way, John, I mean, everybody's mock draft is going to be completely ruined this year.
and by the way, it pretty much is every year. That's just the way. Everybody that released all these mock drafts the last 2 days, they're tearing them all up now with this trade.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Everything starts from scratch. Second round, Rick, let's talk about that. You mentioned Emmanuel Ogbah. He's a guy that I know could be there in the second round for the Giants. A couple of names you gave me, Tyler Boyd, the wide receiver out of Pitt, Keanu Neal, the safety, and then Robert Kimdichie, who a lot of people think might sneak into round one. You think he could be an option there in round number two?
Again, the things that I'm hearing, and it is smokescreen season, but I take these from credible sources, is that with that second pick there, the Giants could be looking at safety, and Keanu Neal all of a sudden is a guy now they're saying he might not get out of round one. And there's a reason why he was invited to the draft. There's a strong consensus feeling that he'll be selected in the first round. So I think now, since we've spoken earlier in the week, I think Keanu Neal is probably out of play there. But I will tell you this, that you know the Giants have a private workout scheduled with Carl Joseph, West Virginia safety. They also are checking into Justin Simmons, the safety out of Boston College. They also have met with both Ohio State safeties, Von Bell and Tyvus Powell. So I think safety now looks like it's very much in play. And I'll tell you what, Carl Joseph, for my money, he's the best safety in this draft class. If it wasn't for the medical, you know, you could be talking about the best safety in this year's draft class. You pair him up with Landon Collins, and that can be a dynamic duo. And the other guy, too, you know, you mentioned Kim DJ. A lot of talk that he could slide out of the first round. If Paxton Lynch goes before the Broncos, I would imagine the Broncos having a difficult time bypassing on a talent like Kim DJ. But the other guy who's in Indianapolis right now as we speak for his combine medical recheck, who could potentially be there. This guy's been linked to the Giants maybe at number 10. He could be there for their second-round pick. That's Zach Lawson. There's a shoulder issue there that can cause him now to slide potentially in the second round. And I think that's an intriguing situation when he is suddenly available for the second-round pick. I think you got to factor in maybe him. But, you know, I'd go wide receiver personally. I just don't put much stock into what Victor Cruz is bringing to the table this year. I don't think they have a whole lot after OBJ. And if they can get a guy, hey, if Laquon Treadwell slides, if not, a guy like Will Fuller, Tyler Boyd, if not, you know, maybe in the third round they draft a receiver. But Shaq Lawson or one of the safeties could very much be in play for that second pick.
It's interesting that you threw out the safety position, Rick, because, you know, when you look at the current Giants roster, you mentioned Landon Collins, the other options are fairly young. I mean, they've drafted a number of safeties. They've brought in a number of young safeties over the last few years, and at least most are thinking maybe they'll give these guys an opportunity on the roster before they brought in another young guy. With that being said, I mean, you threw out a number of safeties. How deep is this position where maybe if the Giants didn't want to go for it in the second round like they did last year with Collins, if they said maybe they wanted to take a flyer on a mid-rounder or a late-rounder, is there a lot of depth at the safety position in this year's class?
I think there's very solid depth. I think that the safety position, there's not a lot of impact players or high-star quality type of players, but when you look at the depth of it, I mean, you can get a starter in the third or fourth round quite possibly, and a guy that comes to mind is Carl Joseph's teammate, K.J. Dillon from West Virginia. This guy blew up the combine. And, you know, he's probably a third-round pick that the Giants could go after. You know, Von Bell is probably a first- or second-round guy, but we mentioned Tyvus Powell from Ohio State. He'll probably be around in the third round. And you know, the Giants have always been well-connected with Boston College. We mentioned Justin Simmons. He's probably a fourth- or fifth-round guy. I'll throw out a small school kid from William & Mary is DeAndre Houston Carson, who is right there and probably in that early day three mix. So he's another guy that could probably come in and compete for a starting job. The ironic thing here is that, you know, the Giants are clearly looking towards the draft to fill this, you know, safety depth because they didn't even call any of the free agent safeties. They didn't even make a call to inquire, but they've been very diligent in the pro day process. And again, with the private workouts and the visits, they've done their homework on this safety draft class.
Now, these safeties you're talking about, Rick, and we're joined by Rick Saratella, NFL Draft Bible. If you have time, Rick, we'll keep you for a few more minutes here so we can knock
Absolutely.
Out some more of these mid-round picks. Excellent. Great information. These safeties you're talking about, are these guys, you know, the Keanu Neals, the Tyvus Powells, the Houston Carsons, the Justin Simmons, are these guys that would generally be considered center fielders that excel in coverage and are able to play center field? Because I think the general consensus seems to be you like to have Landon Collins closer to the line of scrimmage. Are these guys that you can put out there in center field, let them read those patterns, read the routes, and play sideline to sideline?
You know, some are and some aren't. I mean, if you're looking for somebody like that, Jeremy Cash is a guy we haven't mentioned. You know, he could play that role. You know, I look at a guy like Keanu Neal, very similar to Landon Collins, but I think Landon Collins is a very versatile player. Keanu Neal's a hard hitter. Somebody, you know, that really helps out against the run just as much as he does in pass coverage. I think, you know, Von Bell, Jeremy Cash, maybe more of a center fielder type,
okay.
And Justin Simmons too. You know, I know there was a play in the East-West Shrine games where Simmons got burnt on the deep ball, but when you take a look at his practice week, the scouts rave about his week in practice. I mean, mid-round guy. DeAndre Houston Carson is a kind of a jack-of-all-trades, well-rounded, polished player and could play the center field role type as well. But Keanu Neal, you know, and Von Bell, those two guys are probably off the board. If they go mid-rounds there at two, you're probably looking at a Carl Joseph type of guy. If they go round three or round four, I think the guys, you know, like we mentioned, Cash, Simmons, DeAndre Houston, Carson. And there are some later round guys that can be developed too. And you know, I'm sure the Giants did their homework on those guys. But most of the guys that they did their due diligence on are guys that are probably going to be off the board before the fifth round. So I think, you know, by the fourth pick in the draft, the Giants will have selected at least one safety, just an educated guess.
Real quick, just I know the Carl Joseph medical recheck on his knee is happening either today or tomorrow. Are you hearing anything about how that knee's healing up and how quickly he's going to be able to get back onto the field?
He was not able to work out at West Virginia's pro day, which was about a week and a half ago, I believe. So he's still somewhat limited. And, you know, that combine medical check and recheck, unfortunately, the most important part of the combine we don't have access to is the medicals and those closed-door meetings, which, not to digress too much, but going back to Khemdiche, teams were very uncomfortable with those closed-door meetings with Khemdiche. So, you know, that's probably why he slides. Carl Joseph, again, you're talking about a first-round guy, if not for the medical. We just don't know the extent or the severity of that.
Got it.
Well, speaking of that, I mean, this may not necessarily impact the Giants, but, you know, we hear a lot about Jalen Smith. I'm just curious, Rick, what you've heard about him and, you know, where he may wind up, considering the medical is really a big indicator about his draft stock.
Yeah, he penned a very interesting article, not being intentional here. I forget the media outlet that he wrote it on, but he took out an article yesterday and said, hey, I'm the best prospect in this year's draft. I know last week he sent out a video of him squatting 600 pounds already. So, you know, he's already on his way back. But, you know, that was an ugly injury, devastating injury, and it's not somebody that I could personally start thinking about until day three. In today's NFL,
wow.
There's no patience for a guy like that to develop. You talk about the Giants, I don't think they have time to develop a guy like that in the second or third round. Day three, then I can start thinking about it.
I want to touch on some of the wide receivers in rounds two or three, Rick, that you've brought up. Tyler Boyd, you talked about. I know you like the kid out of Rutgers as well. He had some off-the-field stuff. Who are those day two, maybe early day three for the Giants' fourth-round pick, wide receivers that you like? Why do you like them? And who are some of the guys you think the Giants would be wise to target that would fall in that type of range?
Well, you mentioned Leonte Carew. I'll start with him. He had 20 teams show up to his private workout. And, you know, here's a guy, he can wear you out physically. You talk about the Rutgers breed of receiver, Mohamed Sanu, a guy that picks up yak. I think Leonte Carew is very similar. He's a guy that's physical. He's going to pick up yards after the catch. You can line him up inside. You can line him up outside. Personally, I believe he's very similar to, I would compare him to Hakeem Nicks, and I think he would sit in flawlessly with the Giants in the third or fourth round. Sherrone Peak out of Clemson, flying way under the radar, really has some good film, has produced against some top corners. I think he's a guy that could probably go third, fourth round and really evolve into a number one receiver for a team down the road. You know, you talk about who else is out there?
How about Tyler Boyd out of Pittsburgh? Your thoughts on him?
Tyler Boyd, I think he's being very underrated. At one point, 2 years ago, he was viewed coming into the season, actually. He was viewed as a potential first-round pick. And you talk about the resume, the body of work, the production, the polished route running, the hands. To me, he's being greatly undervalued. I think it would be a steal for the Giants in the second round. I don't think he escapes the second round, but I think there's a guy with the Giants – he would come in and start from day one.
Lance is going to jump to day three in just a second. One other guy, because the Giants already drafted Weston Richburg out of Colorado State. There's a receiver from Colorado State that is kind of flying under the radar, but could be a late day two sleeper, and that's Rashard Higgins. Give the fans the 411 on kind of what his deal is and what NFL teams would get if they decide to go with Higgins.
Hollywood Higgins fits the name, and, you know, 2 years ago he led the nation in touchdowns. He had 17 touchdown receptions, so his junior film or his film from 2 years ago was actually better than this past year's film, but you're talking about a guy who really made a living stretching the field. Now, where his draft stock kind of ran into a hiccup, I think he ran a poor 40
combine. 4.64, yeah.
Right. So, and I know he rebounded somewhat at his pro day workout and made up for it a little bit, but I think, you know, that's why now he's suddenly in that third, fourth round range. But I think when you take a look at the film, his film outweighs what the measurables at the combine. So I wouldn't get too caught up in the slow 40 time at the combine, because on film he plays much faster. He's a guy that can go over the middle, beat you deep, and, hey, just like a lot of these wide receivers, he's got a little bit of Hollywood in him.
Talking about Rick Saratella from NFL Draft Bible. Rick, you mentioned number 10th overall pick. I mean, the Giants could very well target a guy like Vernon Hargreaves if they don't get a corner in the first round. And the slot corner position is a position where I could see the Giants addressing in the draft to complement a Janoris Jenkins or a DRC, considering they lost a few players in free agency. I know you listed a few corners in that fifth and sixth round when you were projecting some guys that the Giants may have interest. Who are some of the sleepers maybe at that position that, you know, could fit into the Giants scheme, specifically at that corner position, or who you really think are better suited as slot corners specifically?
Well, yeah, I think the slot corners, somebody we haven't touched base on is Tavon Young from Temple. I had a chance to see him. I went and saw him in person against Memphis, and then I was back at his pro day. Really, you know, fits that slot cover kind of mold with the size, 5'9". But he ran sub 4.4 in the 40-yard dash, and really what caught my attention was his ability to get in and out of cuts. I mean, his back pedal is as good as anybody in the draft. And, you know, I have a second-round grade on Tavon Young personally. I don't think he's even going to go to the fourth or fifth round, which I think he'll come in and start at that slot cover corner position from day one. Cyrus Jones from Alabama is a guy getting a lot of love. And, you know, there is a guy, I think he does come off the board in the second round. But if somebody like Cyrus Jones or even Jonathan Joseph from Auburn, he's a guy that can go in the third, fourth round range, come in and play in those nickel and dime packages. But, you know, those are the three guys, really, when I think about slot cover corner, those are the three guys that come to my mind.
Two corners that I know might probably go in the second round here. We haven't really talked about it much on the show, so I want to get your take on it. I'm trying to give fans a taste of every player that could get drafted first few days. Artie Burns out of Miami and Kendall Fuller out of Virginia Tech. And I'll throw Rashard Robertson out of LSU into the mix. Give me give me your thumbnails on those three guys. What makes them different? Where do you think they'll go? And what do they bring to the table?
Well, Kendall Fuller has strong bloodlines, and that's not to be dismissed because NFL teams love that. And, again, here's an injury that we don't really know how much he's recovered or what the medical check said. But Kendall Fuller is another one of these prospects. We would be talking about him in the first round.
What did he have, Rick? What was his injury?
You know, I can't remember offhand. I think it was a leg. But,
got it.
You know, the thing with him is There's an injury thing there with him. There's another guy, Will Redmond from Mississippi. Again, size, a cornerback, first-round talent. Just we don't know the significance of the injury. Rashard Robinson from LSU, very intriguing, one of the most polarizing players in this year's draft. Hasn't played in about 2 years. I would say he's this year's Dorial Green Beckham on the defensive side.
Interesting.
He has all the measurables. He has the size. He has that 4.4 speed. You just don't know what you're getting in terms of rust, but the athleticism, the size, the upside, his ability to cover, this could be a good kid that really surprises and shocks some people. I think he could go top 40, top 50 overall. So I think, you know, he's going to probably come off the board and surprise some people.
And then Artie Burns.
Artie Burns is a guy. You know, his draft range varies. You hear end of round one, early day two. Will he be there for the Giants when their second round pick comes around? That's a good question. I think, you know, it depends on what we see with the run on cornerbacks. I think William Jackson and Eli Apple are definite surefire first round guys. Mackenzie Alexander, who we haven't spoken about, I wouldn't be surprised if he's available for the Giants with their second round pick. I was not enamored with him when I studied him, and that's the consensus I got from NFL teams. So don't be surprised if Mackenzie Alexander also slides out of the first round.
Rick, one other corner I wanted to throw out, to me he's intriguing. I mean, we spoke to the Notre Dame beat writer, and this guy, from what I heard, didn't have a lot of experience but had a decent last year. What about Kavari Russell from the Irish?
Love him. I think he's going to be one of the biggest steals in this year's draft. Another one of these lengthy, you know, I've never seen in 14 years covering the NFL draft, I've never seen a cornerback class that had so many tall, lengthy corners. And not only are they 6 feet and taller, but they're also running in the 4.4 range. It's this new breed of cornerbacks. You're going to see a lot more of it. It's the future of the NFL. It's where the college football has been transforming right before our very eyes. But to talk about Kavari Russell, what's not to like? Size can cover man-to-man, can play zone, can really get in a defender's face. But when you talk about size, speed, combination, and the ability to tackle, that's what Kavari Russell brings to the table. And that's something you just can't really teach, that size-speed ratio. And he was very heavy on our radar. In fact, we had him in the mix as a guy who could be a top pick. And just another one of these guys that ran into injuries. He actually ran a 4.4 fast 40, and I think he jumped about 40 inches on the vertical jump before, you know, he pulled his hamstring on the second 40-yard dash attempt. He still went out and jumped like 40 inches in the vertical and you know, was just an incredible, you know, the showcase of athleticism. So, you know, to wrap it all up, I think, you know, remember Ekpe Opro coming out of Oregon a couple years ago.
The injury.
A lot of people thought he was a top talent, didn't go till later in the draft. Now, it didn't work out for him with the injury. I think what you're seeing is a similar situation, a guy that teams value very highly, but will probably go in that fourth-round range because of the injury. You don't know how it's going to turn out. But if he does pan out, you're getting arguably one of the top cornerbacks in this year's draft.
All right, Rick, final question. Who do you think the Giants will pick? And then the second part, and it could be a different player, if you are making the Giants pick at 10, who would you pick?
Putting me on the spot here.
Yeah, of course.
Can't do that before, you know, we let you go.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Giants have always been firm believers on building from the inside out, which is why, despite the, you know, the surgence of defensive linemen they signed in the offseason, that could still be in play. But I think they're going to go Ronnie Stanley. Again, not the sexy pick with the offensive lineman 2 years in a row. I just think it makes too much sense. If it was me personally, I know the size bothers a lot of people, using a top 10 pick on a undersized corner. But when you talk about the best cover corner in the draft, that's nothing to sneeze at. Again, you're playing against teams that are just airing the ball out 65% of the time, if not more. You got to have cornerbacks. You can never have enough cornerbacks. And I think you also doing some planning for the future. If you take Hargraves now, like I said, DRC, you might get another year, maybe two out of them. I think it's a seamless transition. But either way, I mean, I think the Giants will go Stanley. I would take Hargraves. Either way, I don't think you lose with either of those two guys.
Rick, great stuff.
Yeah.
We appreciate the time, my friend. Thanks for spending some extra time with us. Went a lot longer than we thought, but you kept giving us great information, and we wanted to keep you on.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Rick.
Good stuff. I'll catch you guys out in Chi-Town.
Excellent. Rick Serratella, you can check it out on Twitter, at NFL Draft Bible. They have some great content on there. You can check it out. There's a 30-day free trial code up there if they go to their Twitter page. Again, at NFL Draft Bible. Kudos to the callers. You've hung out. We're going to get to you right now. I'm not going to waste any time. Lance and I will get to our little mini fun mock draft in a couple minutes off that trade. But I want to get to the three guys that have been holding. We'll get to you, and then we'll do our little mock draft to close out the show. All right, here we go. Abdul Minneapolis, he's been holding very, very early on in the show. Abdul, thanks for holding on. What's up, pal?
Wow, that guy was just a well of knowledge, wasn't he?
Dude, I'm telling you, man, it's amazing. He didn't have anything in front of him. We're dropping like 59 names on him, and he's got lists of like 40 times and vertical jumps. It was nuts.
Incredible. Yeah, so yesterday I caught the end of your show, and I heard Charlie from Maine.
I'm sorry about that.
Yeah, you know, I love Charlie.
So do I.
Had,
well, at least somebody
he
does.
Yeah, flavor, exactly. But, you know, I have to disagree with him about his, you know, the way he said that free agency is where you build teams. I'm not sure if he said that, if I'm paraphrasing. I think you build a team through the draft. That's what the Titans did with it today.
Yeah.
The Titans have now 6 picks in the top 3 rounds, right? So that
means
pretty good. The top 50 players, they're picking 6 of the top 50 players.
I think they have 6 of the top 76 is what
right.
I saw,
okay.
If I'm not mistaken.
There you go. So I think Reese's biggest fault is how he's failed in picking players in the draft. You know, I think that's why we are where we are today. Having to overspend in free agency and all that stuff because we failed to build in the draft because we've missed so many times with our draft picks. And so that's sitting at 10 and all these guys who want to draft, you know, trade down or trade up, you know. I hear that because, you know, you could use draft picks as currency. You know, you could, you know, go down and get, you know, two second-round draft picks and then, you know, build your team that way.
Yeah.
I personally, I'm not a good poker player. I like having, you know, the bird in the hand, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I do.
And so I think at 10, especially now with Tennessee trading out, we will get a player that I think will slide down, either Hargraves or Stanley, you know, maybe a defensive pass rusher. The problem with getting an offensive lineman, unless it's Stanley, is it overplaying? Because I think Stanley could play left tackle. I know Giants are saying, you know, we have our guy left tackle, but if he's a better left tackle than the guy we have now, you know, it is what it is. You I'm forgetting his name.
Eric Flowers.
Flowers.
Yeah.
Move Flowers to the right side and put Stanley, you know, we saw a rookie last year. He did okay, even though everyone's saying that, you know, for pro football, he, you know, he ran out at the last. One of the worst tackles, but
Abdul,
you know,
I'll say this:
the eye test for me.
If the Giants pick Ronnie Stanley, mm-hmm. in maybe it might not be year one, but I think mm-hmm. by 2018, I think Ronnie Stanley will be your left tackle. I think Eric Flowers would be your right tackle.
Yeah, it makes sense. You know, and also everyone says that Flowers, you know, was the one of the worst tackles. I didn't see him lose too many games for us last year. You know what I mean? He had some rookie mistakes, but I think he was a pretty solid tackle. So, you know, that being said, you know, I have no idea what's going to happen. You know, no one really does, and I think that's the great part of the draft. So I think we should stay put and just get the player that we should get there. And I personally like Vernon Hargraves. I think you can't have too many cornerbacks. And as you see every year, you know, DRC might go down for a game or two, whatever. You know, I think you need depth at cornerback, and it's too much of a premium position not to have depth at. So it should be fun, guys. I'm looking forward to it.
Thanks, Abdul.
Take care.
Appreciate it, man.
Yeah, competition's a good thing. I mean, it's not a bad thing. Even if you brought in another offensive lineman, you want guys to compete on the right and the left side. Think of teams that could be in worse positions than that. Good options at offensive line are a good thing overall for the team.
And again, you need 3 starting cornerbacks at this point. You know, to me, when you're talking about your 3rd cornerback, you're not talking about depth. You're talking about a starter.
Talking about a guy that's going to be out on the field.
He's playing 70% of the snaps. 70%. And if a guy plays 70% of the snaps, you know what that means? He's a starter.
Yeah, which means he's worth a first-round pick. Too.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's the equation. And, you know, the other thing that you need to take into consideration, and Rick brought it up, I mean, the Giants do have a track record, John, of also drafting a position where they think they may lose a guy in free agency within the next year or two. We've seen that a lot at the defensive tackle position. You know, maybe they're thinking about that at the corner position. But whether or not they're thinking about that or they're thinking about in need of a starter, I agree with you. I think Hargraves, you'll find a way to put him on the field.
Oh, yeah.
Whether it be on the outside mixing and matching or be a slot guy. You'll find a way.
Yeah, I mean, DRC still has 3 years left on his deal. He's been here for two. It was a 5-year deal for him, if I remember correctly, right?
I believe so.
So I'm 90% sure he's here for 3 more years. You know, you never know what happens. The contracts get cut short, whatever. But, look, if you draft the corner with the 10th overall pick, guess what? He's playing a lot this year.
I'm sure Spags find a way to put him on the field.
Yeah, I wouldn't worry about
that. Given his track record. And, you know, listen, not to be a Debbie Downer here, but, you know, I mean, DRC has not been able to stay healthy since he's arrived here, so it doesn't hurt to also have some protection on the outside there.
He always starts, but he does miss snaps.
He doesn't last a full game sometimes, or he misses a stretch. So you know what? If you have a rookie corner who can slide right in all of a sudden in the middle of a game, John, there's value there too.
Well, how many times last year do we see DRC step off the field, Jaron Holsley comes in, or somebody else, and all of a sudden it's like...
Well, I mean, I can tell you right now, the Redskins game, that critical loss, Kirk Cousins to DeSean Jackson, who do you think came out on the previous play? DRC.
Stay in the Midwest. Jeff in Wisconsin. He's up next. But, Jeff, before you go real quick, I want to remind you that Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings, the daily fantasy sports destination. I haven't read any of these yet.
Well,
at DraftKings, you can play as often as you want with no season-long commitment. DraftKings.com. Promo code CONTACT. Play for free today. DraftKings Fantasy Sports free to play. Jeff, you have the floor.
How you doing, guys?
Doing well, Jeff.
Just wondering how far you think Tunzel is going to end up falling now.
I think he goes to the Chargers at three.
Chargers, you think so?
I could see him drop it even further, to be honest with you.
I honestly don't see him going to Baltimore.
Why don't you think the Chargers would pick him? They've had a lot of issues on the offensive line protecting Phillip Rivers, and more importantly, they haven't run the football in about 3 years. They need offensive linemen in San Diego.
Well, you can take either Tunzel or you can take, in my opinion, the best player in the draft, Ramsey, who I think is still going to be there. I think either the Browns, they take off, or they – honestly, I see them trading with 49ers, letting them move up to take their guy.
Here's the thing. Hugh Jackson's an offensive guy. He's a quarterback guru. I find it hard to believe that – and I know he's not making the pick. He's not the GM. I get it. But he's going to have input. He's a first-year head coach. I have a hard time believing he's not going to get – that quarterback that he wants if they have the second overall pick in the draft. I have a hard time thinking he's going to pass on that quarterback.
Yeah, but anyways, with the Chargers, I think they're either sold on Ramsey or Buckner. I think they love the hell out of Buckner.
Well, Miles Jack could be in play there, too. I wouldn't rule him out. Yeah. This is the thing about the Chargers. I think, Jeff, San Diego's got a lot of needs.
Yeah.
I think based on what John said, they need help on that offensive line.
Pick the best guy.
Pass protection, run blocking. But, you know, they also lost Eric Weddle, the safety. They may want to go young there. Ramsey could play two positions. And I could see them needing some help in the middle of the defense as well.
And by the way, you said Baltimore for Tunzel. The Jaguars' offensive line is
a
darn mess. So if Tunzel gets to five, he's going to five.
They got two young tackles who graded out, I think, the top 15.
They didn't play well last year. Blake Bortles was on his back the whole season. I'd have to look at their numbers last year.
Well, you're talking about Luke Jokel, who certainly has not been somebody that has panned out for them.
He's been a mess. Jokel's been a mess.
If that's one of the young guys you're referring to, Jeff, I mean, clearly the numbers don't necessarily translate.
Around like eight. I thought he graded out somewhere on pro football around 18 last year.
Well, you know, regardless of what some of the grades may say, if you watch Jokel play, he's had his fair share of ups and downs.
Fair enough.
I can tell you, Pro Football Focus last year, I'm looking at their stats right now, they had Luke Jokel at a negative 16.5 over the course of the year.
I would have been stunned.
And I can tell you right now, I'll go to their position rankings, just so you're aware of it. Offensive tackle, Jacksonville Jaguars, they had, let's see, Luke Jokel was their 52nd ranked offensive tackle last year. And their other offensive tackle, Jacksonville, let's see, was Jeremy Parnell, who they signed from Dallas. They had him ranked as their 36th best offensive tackle in the league last year. So the Jaguars, not let Tunzel go past.
Yeah, they need help at that tackle position.
Yeah.
Tennessee and Jacksonville gave up the most sacks between Mariota and Bortles.
Right.
They both need offensive line help. So, I mean, listen, Tennessee traded out. If San Diego doesn't go to Tunzel, I would be stunned if Jacksonville lets him fall beyond them.
A man can dream, Kenny.
You can dream.
Appreciate the call, my friend.
Nobody's going to deny you that, Jeff.
Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate it. Yeah, and that's why, Lance, I'm going to do our mock draft in a couple minutes. But I got two more callers. Don't screen any more, Dave. I want to get Raheem and Scott, and then we're going to do our quick mock draft. Raheem in the Bronx. He's up next. Raheem, what's up?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Doing great, Raheem.
I wanted to talk about a draft, but before I talk about that, did you guys catch Kobe's last game that night?
I did see it, yes.
You know what? And before the game, I put Raheem the over-under on the number of shots he would take at 45, and it was over.
Well, that's expected for Kobe.
Yes, it is. Absolutely.
It's only appropriate for Kobe to go out with a 50-shot attempt game.
Absolutely.
It wouldn't be Kobe if he didn't take 50
You know what,
shots.
Though? And he hit some big shots at the end. Good for him.
He did.
Very good way to go out for Kobe.
Absolutely.
Bryant.
You couldn't have scripted it any better.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. About the draft, I agree that we need to take a corner. I'm not upset. I wouldn't be upset if they took Stanley or Conklin, because I'm not like everybody else who's saying we can't take an offensive lineman 3 years in a row or anything like that, because Eli only has like three or four good years left. There's no problem with me if they take another offensive lineman, but we need a cover corner. And BRC, like you guys said, has 3 years left on his contract. Hargreaves would have been a terrific pick for me. I had a question, though, a few weeks ago when they signed Keenan Robinson.
Yeah.
My question was, what if they're signing, well, they re-signed Brinkley and they signed Keenan Robinson. What if they're thinking about picking Jalen Smith in the second round because of his injury?
Well, you just heard what Rick said. That's why I asked, because I know a lot of Giants fans have been asking about Jalen Smith. He's still not sold on him, you know, even based on how the medicals check out. He thinks he's going to fall to maybe the third round, even further.
And the theme seems to be that he's going to be a redshirt. He's not playing this year. It's just a matter of when he starts to play after. Remember, Jalen Smith, too, he doesn't have to be a Mike. He could also play outside if you want him. He could be a Sam. He could be a Will. He could play any of those linebacker spots. It's not like any of those linebacker contracts, Raheem, were these big, you know, yearly monetary commitments. So just because those guys signed, I would not put Jalen Smith out of a potential pick for the Giants somewhere. Appreciate the call, my friend.
I had one more comment.
Yeah, real quick.
Tyler Boyd, the wide receiver out of Pittsburgh. I watched the combine, and I've been really high on him, and I've been wondering why not everyone's talking about him. Like, he has terrific hands, run good routes, he had a good 40 time. I've actually been hoping that the Giants think about picking him in like in the third or fourth round. What do you guys think? I'll get off the air.
No, I appreciate the call. Thanks for having me.
I think it's
a
possibility. I mean, in terms of depending on how the draft plays out.
Well, he also had a 4.58 40 time.
Well, let's just watch the word good.
No,
he
absolutely
could be there. I mean, in those rounds.
To me, Boyd Lance is one of those guys where the production and the tape should supersede the numbers. Now, I wouldn't pick Tyler Boyd 10, the same reason I wouldn't pick Laquon Treadwell 10. At least I wouldn't, based on his you know, ability to separate on tape. But Tyler Boyd's a guy who's had 85, 78, and 91 catches at Pittsburgh, 91 in his most recent year. He's got very good hands. He knows how to run the route tree. And to me, he's a very good, solid wide receiver. In the second round, he would definitely be a good pick. And, you know, if you ever drop to the third round, I think that would be a very good look as well.
Well, I mean, the Giants right now, you know, protection for Victor Cruz could use a complement to Beckham. Nobody's saying they need to bring in a number one superstar.
Right.
I mean, I think they have that in Odell Beckham. But if you can get somebody who can run a variety of different routes, has good hands, could be a possession receiver, could help move the chains, that's good value when you get into that third round barometer. And if he's there, you know, I certainly should be in the discussion. But I think a lot depends on, you know, how the wide receivers play out. First, we're hearing Treadwell is going to go in the first round. Now Rick says he could fall to the second round. So right now it seems like there's a lot of fluctuation at that position.
I know Rick has good sources. He talks to people. I'd be shocked to see Treadwell drop to round two.
Well, so would I. But, you know, I mean, at this point, you know, we hear a lot of these rumors leading up to the draft. Who knows?
Hey,
I mean, it really is a guessing game.
Like you said, though, this is fibbing season. This is lying season. Teams sort of smoke screens. They tell people stuff. You know, guys and reporters trying to do their jobs, and they get bad information because teams are trying to throw guys off the trail. And, you know,
well, and they
happens.
Know the reporters are going to spread that info. So, obviously, mission accomplished.
Yep. Scott in Washington, D.C. Scott, what's going on?
Hey, can you tell me about any changes in the Giants' evaluation process for the draft?
They haven't made any announcements or anything like that in regards to evaluation changes, so anything Lance and I gave you would honestly be speculation.
Okay, well, you know, I look at the last 12 years of draft choice, and by my calculation, they're missing on north of 75% of the selections. Obviously, missing. If that happens again this year, we're gonna be in the same situation that we've been in the last few years out of the money.
Well, Scott, I would say this:
they got to improve the hit miss rate.
No, Rick, absolutely. I don't think anybody would say the Giants don't want to draft better, but I think you would hope that the last three drafts are already pointing towards an improvement. Now, obviously, we're not going to know until we get a couple more years down the line and all these guys play a few years in the league. But I think the hope is that the last 3 years have already started a trend where you're going to get have a better hit rate.
Michael Cox, Eric Hermann, Cooper Taylor,
DeMontre
Moore.
You're talking about 6th and 7th round picks. You're talking about 6th and 7th round picks. I mean, look, in the NFL draft, and Bill Polian put out this study.
Third round, Jay Bromley, fourth round, Andre Williams, fifth round, Matt Burr.
Jay Bromley's been in the league for two years.
Well, it's a little too soon.
But Scott,
in fairness, it's a little too soon to be judging 2014 and 2015 draft picks.
No, let's put things in perspective. No, but that's why I went back 12 years. It's your colleague who went back three.
No, I know, and I'm saying...
Hold on. You just threw out Devon Kennard's name, and you threw out Andre Williams' name, Scott.
That's 2 years ago.
That's 2014. Come on.
That was in response to John saying, look at the last 3 years. I went back 12 years.
Okay.
Nobody's disagreeing about 12 years ago. We're not arguing about 12 years ago.
But then when you start saying that... John mentioned that in the last 2 or 3 years, it's too early to tell. I don't think that's a stretch of an argument.
Yeah, look, I'm not telling you that the Giants, if you go back to the 2012, 11, and 10 draft classes, that they hit on enough guys. No one would make that argument. And look, John Mara said that at his press conference. Jerry Reese said that at his press conference. They want to have a better hit rate. My point is that you hope over the last 3 years that the rate has started to improve. Like you go back to 2013. Pugh and Hankins, you think are hits. DeMontre Moore didn't work out. No one's going to make that argument. And what I was about to say is that, generally speaking, if you look at a Bill Polian study he put out there, that usually you'll probably get around 1/3 of your guys are going to be big time hits. So if you get three guys out of a draft class, you're going to be really, really happy with it. Two, you're looking at probably an average draft class. And I'm talking, full-time starters. You're going to have guys in later rounds that are going to help on special teams and things like that. You go back to 2014. Beckham and Richburg are already starters, potentially Pro Bowl caliber starters, and an All-Pro in Beckham's case. And I think Richburg could have been a Pro Bowl nomination at center last year. Bromley, what? You're laughing? What, you don't like Weston Richburg at center? You realize he was top five.
Look back 3 years from now and see, but Richburg.
You realize ESPN
takes up a spot on the line.
You realize ESPN and Pro Football Focus, both two different media outlets, had him listed as their top five Pro Bowl snubs last year, right?
No, but
I'm just telling you, they did.
Pro Bowl, Smoball. What's Pro Bowl?
It means you're one of the best players at your position. What do you want me to tell you?
So the quarterback of the Buffalo Bills is one of the best players at his position.
Do you know how many quarterbacks dropped out of the Pro Bowl last year? How many centers dropped out of the Pro Bowl last year?
That's my point.
My point, how many centers dropped out of the Pro Bowl last year? It's a different position.
Okay. All right, look, here's the thing. I called in on January 22nd. I said they need 31 players on the roster who were not on the roster opening kickoff last year.
Okay.
If they don't flip this roster over 50%, I predict the same result. We're going to be swimming upstream and not making the playoffs with the talent that's on the team. It's nice that they got some big ticket free agent signings. Lance is always saying it's all about depth. You got to have 51 to 53. Any one of those guys can get hurt. You need a backup. Right now, 2 and 3 hits in the draft is not going to give them that kind of depth that this roster needs.
Well, Scott, I think you're going to get the turnover. I mean, just think about the math right now. Who did they re-sign in terms of free agency? They re-signed Brinkley, JPP.
On average, 20% of the roster is turned over every year.
You're going to get a lot of
change. More than 50%.
Well, I mean, you're going to get, hopefully, a productive draft class. Let's see what guys like Vernon and Snacks Harrison do. I mean, those you brought in, those are going to be legitimate starters. We'll see how some of these new linebackers. I mean, I don't know if you're going to get the 50%, Scott, that you're targeting, but I think you're going to get a high enough percentage, to answer your question, Scott, where there's going to be a lot of different players out there than what you saw last season.
This draft's going to give you just 6 players, so they got a lot of work to do.
Well, I mean, if you're talking about final 53, are you talking about guys in camp, Scott, when you're talking about that number?
I'm talking about the 53 players who are eligible to play on any given Sunday.
I mean, it's tough to turn over 50% of your roster in an offseason.
I understand that, but they haven't done that
in the last 10 years. Whoa, no, they do. They got a lot of dead wood to get rid of.
Well, remember, two years ago, they added 28 free agents in the offseason of 2014. 28.
Yeah, it's a process. You can't do it in 1 year.
Right.
Believe me, I'm patient. I started going to games in 1972.
I've been very patient. I think you're going to come real
now,
close.
They're
though.
In a rut, and they need to get out of this rut.
No, absolutely.
I'm optimistic. I just want to – I'm not blaming Mr. Reese, but there is a different concept. It's called responsibility. Someone's got to take responsibility for cracking some eggs and shaking things up.
Scott, absolutely. And thanks a lot for the call. No one's arguing with that. And John Mara said as much in his postseason press conference.
I agree. Thanks for taking the call.
Hey, thank you, Scott. We appreciate it. Good stuff as always. Thanks for calling in and listening. We appreciate it as always.
I mean, you had about, I think coming into free agency, John, you had about 30 free agents, combination of restricted and unrestricted.
Right.
Now, they're going to bring back some of them who are restricted, but you're going to get enough turnover. You know, you may not get 30 where, you know, you're going to get beyond that 50% barometer,
right.
But I think you're going to get, you know, in those 20s in terms of new faces that are going to be on this roster, especially when, you know, they start growing the roster to 90 to bring in for training camp and so forth.
Right. And again, Scott, we're not arguing with you. Everyone knows that there was a period of time in there where you didn't get enough players out of the draft that you would have liked for whatever reason, bad drafts, injuries, you know, whatever the reason might be, you know, that you want to put on your list for, you know, why it didn't work out. And look, everyone knows it has to get better. And, you know, this as John Mara, there was a quote in the paper that day, how this draft is more important than others.
Yeah.
That was his quote. This draft is more important than others to try to, you know, continue to rebuild this roster. And I don't think anyone's down that. But, you know, the scouts are working their butts off. They'll be back this weekend and start next week to, you know, put the final board together. And, again, you hope that the last three draft classes with guys like Eric Flowers and Landon Collins, you hope Ola can step up and, you know, play better. Bobby Hart could be competing for a starting job this year. Beckham and Richburg, obviously, Lance, were very good. You want to see Jay Bromley step up and emerge this year. You hope Nat Burhe is healthy. He'll be given a chance. Devon Kennard has showed he's a starter. If he can stay healthy, let's see. If he can stay healthy this year, Bennett Jackson will have a chance to play. We'll see. And then, of course, you have Pugh and Hankins, who are anticipated to be starters.
Well, that's
from 2013.
I mean, that's why I always say you got to give each draft class 3 years. That's my barometer.
Yeah, I agree.
I need 3 years. So, for example, you want to judge the 2012 class? Hey, more power to you. But 2014 and 2015, I got to see 3 years before I start to make overall assumptions and, you know, roundabout sayings about how that draft class panned out. It just, there's not enough. I mean, for example, you threw out a bunch of guys. I mean, Nat Burhe hasn't had any starts in his NFL career. I mean, how can I judge that fifth round pick at this point? Bennett Jackson hasn't been out on the field yet.
Yeah.
I can't. I mean, you got to give me some substance before I make claims about how draft picks turn
out. Right.
And
again, you hope that those three draft classes are
of course. So that's what I'm saying.
Right.
Let's get that 3 year window.
Absolutely.
And then, hey, I'm not to say that everything's going to be, you know, rainbows and lollipops here, but give me the 3 years. That's all I'm asking for before we make, you know, these exclamation points on all these classes. And
all
so
right.
Forth.
Real quick before we say goodbye, let's do this.
Yeah.
Together.
Absolutely.
Overall, number one, L.A., Goff or Wentz?
I'm going to say Wentz.
See, I think they're going to pick Goff. Because I think he's more, and I think a lot of people think mentally he's maybe more NFL ready. I know it's not a pro system, but it's fine. I'll
At
go
this
with Wentz.
Point, well, we could do two different ones just
no,
to see
fine.
How they differ.
I'm on board with that.
Okay.
You say Browns, Goff?
Yeah, I would go Browns, Goff.
I agree.
Although I'm still not ruling out that Cleveland even trades down.
Okay.
I'm still keeping that as an option there.
We'll keep that in mind.
Three, now I know you're high on Tunsil.
I think Tunsil goes three.
Listen, I like Tunsil to the Chargers. I just would not rule out Ramsey in that position. But you committed to number one with Wentz, so we go Tunsil for three.
Okay.
As a fair of compromise.
That's fine. And then you think Dallas runs for Ramsey, right?
I think Dallas would run. But I would not rule out Miles Jack there, too, John. I mean, they could use a linebacker, given Sean Lee's injury, Rolando McClain, and so forth.
All the reports are that Ramsey might be the top guy on their board.
Well, I don't think it's a bad pick, just like the Chargers, if they were to go for Tunsil.
Now, the Jaguars are interesting here. Do they go Bosa, or do they go Miles Jack?
See, Gus Bradley comes from the Seahawks school of
he
thought.
He wants defensive
He
line
likes those
defensive.
Now, they brought in defensive guys this year, but it's the same thing I'm saying with the Giants. That should not stop you from drafting
and
a defensive lineman.
And Dante Fowler's coming off an ACL from last year. I think Bosa's the pick for Jacksonville.
That's fair.
I
agree.
Miles Jack then to Baltimore?
Miles Jack, I mean, their linebacker history, if he's staring at them at six, how could the Ravens turn? How could Ozzie Newsome turn him down?
I agree. Okay, so I think we have a pretty good consensus top six. And I think whatever order these guys go in, Lance, I think these will probably be the top six guys off the board.
Correct.
All right?
Yeah.
And then I think the next guy is DeForest Buckner. Or do you think the Niners decide to go and pick a quarterback here?
No, I do not see the Niners picking a quarterback. If Goff and Wentz are off the board, no. If Goff is still there,
yes,
that's a possibility.
In which case, though, Buckner would have been going
higher. He probably would have went, so it's really you're switching out players.
I think these are our top seven no matter what.
Yes.
And I think that's fair. Then you get to the Eagles at eight. Do you still like Ezekiel Elliott for them?
I still like Elliott there.
I agree, too. Okay, see, we have a pretty good mix here. And then number nine.
I think the Bucs go Hargraves.
You think you'll Hargraves? Or do you think they go the tackle and they put Donovan back over on the right side to protect? Remember, franchise quarterback, you want a franchise left tackle.
You do. They did look at free agency options with the Bucs, but you know what? Mike Smith's now their defensive coordinator. He's got previous head coaching experience. I think he wants a guy that he can turn around and have a young guy that he can groom. Remember, the Bucs have been disappointing in the secondary, even with Alteron Verner signing. They need a corner. They're going up against, think about those teams in that division, Matt Ryan and company, Drew Brees and company, the Carolina Panthers. I think they need a corner.
And who are the Giants going to pick? Stay tuned next week. I don't think we're ready to commit to that yet. So I think those are the top nine that we have off the board. And I think when you get to the Giants at this spot now, you're looking at the options or your two offensive tackles, right?
Stanley and Conklin.
Whoever your top wide receiver on the board is, if you think that's Treadwell, you can put him in the mix in that spot,
yeah.
Okay?
And then I think you got to put Leonard Floyd in there,
and
too,
And then
right?
I think you put Leonard Floyd in the mix.
Yep.
And then
Shaq Lawson. Yeah, I was just going to say that. Those, to me, would be those four.
How about Rankins?
Yeah, I mean, you could throw Rankins in there. Is it too much of a stretch with Kevin Dodd, you think?
Yeah, I do.
You think it's a stretch
with
Kevin Dodd?
I think it's a little high for him.
Okay. That would be maybe the other guy that I would throw in there. But I think you're looking at the two offensive linemen, the Floyd, the Lawsons of the world. And, see, I don't know about another corner moving up if Hargraves is off the board. I'm not necessarily sold, and maybe
– I agree with you.
I think you could wait till the second or the third round for that.
I don't think the drop-off from the next corner to the corner you're going to get in the second round is necessarily that large.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, it really comes down to linebacker, defensive line, offensive line. I mean,
tell you what, I'm starting to lean towards Conklin over Stanley. Because I think Conklin one day could become left tackle, but I know he could play right tackle. I'm not sure Stanley can go to the right side because he's more of an athlete, less of a grinder. And that
finesse.
Way you have Flowers and Conklin, guys that can theoretically play both sides. Whichever one works out in the better spot, you have flexibility.
The versatility.
So, right now, I think I'm leaning towards Conklin.
Well, I do look at Conklin more as a big bruiser.
Absolutely.
If you put him on the right side, no argument there. You know, maybe the jury's still out with Stanley. I still think Stanley's got versatility. Maybe we haven't seen enough of it. I don't know if you could go really wrong if you go in either direction. I think you do make a fair argument that he looks like the big bruiser right now, Conklin, who could develop into a left tackle, whereas can Stanley develop into a big bruiser? It's easier, I think, to be already a big bruiser, John, maybe make the transition to left tackle, would you say?
Who knows?
Whereas if you're a finesse left tackle to all of a sudden become a big bruiser on the right side.
I think it depends on the guy, depends on the player.
Of course.
Folks, there you have it. Me and Feagles tomorrow, we'll have John Ledyard from DraftWire.com, USA Today, and then we'll have guests all next week and the week after that as we get ready for the NFL Draft. We went long today. Hope you enjoyed the extra content. For Lance Menno, I'm John Schmelk. We're going to have some lunch right here on Giants.com. And by the way, this program was brought to you by Big Blue Kickoff Live, brought to you by DraftKings. We've never played fantasy football on DraftKings. It's changed the way we play fantasy sports. Pick your contest, pick your players. If you win, pick up your cash. Simple as that. DraftKings.com. Enter promo code CONTACT. Claim your free entry today. DraftKings Fantasy Sports free to play. Schedule announced tonight.
I was going to say, one other quick note before we sign out.
8 p.m.?
8 p.m. Eastern. Yes, you can stay locked to Giants.com. We'll have exclusive coverage.
Is that a live show on NFL Network, too, the schedule reveal?
3 hours.
3 hours?
Really? There you go. Yeah, because they have usually reporters at every site.
Wow. That's a long reveal show. But go to Giants.com. We'll have the Giants schedule for you first at 8 p.m. And, of course, we'll have a little two-minute Joe probably talking about that as well.
Sounds good.
So make sure you check that out, the schedule tonight. And then tomorrow, Feagles and I will talk a lot about the schedule as well as having John on again from USA Today. For Lance Menno, I'm John Schmelk. That's your show. We'll see you next time on Giants.com, everybody. Have a great Thursday.
Have a good one.
Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Down the middle of the field. He's got through. 35. 30.